Wrestling Radio, LockerRoomHQ.com.
Screw you guys. And that guy is too dumb. Think about the booking on that. That explains even less. This was the absolute worst thing I have ever seen any time in my entire life, and now I'm gonna go kill myself. Oh, what can you do? You know, when I first made that intro, I didn't really think about the fact that people would mistake the clip of me saying, screw you guys, as, you know, like being live. Like, apparently the first time people hear that, they assume that that's me with the headset on, talking in the microphone, listening to the intro music, saying, screw you guys. Apparently a lot of people, the first thing they thought of when they heard that was, the show was ending. And that I was going to say, this is episode 100 and I quit the end. And that would be the end of the show, which, granted, might have been a much more interesting 100th episode, but, yeah. Anyway, regardless, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Dirt, and this is Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And today we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, some of the other news and notes happening around the world of professional wrestling. One of the most interesting stories I've run across here in the last 24 hours is the fact that NXT is ending. We all know NXT is ending. NXT sucks. Terrible show. NXT is going away. Part of the reason it's going away is also because my network TV is probably going to be going away. And so SmackDown is moving from my network TV to Sci-Fi. And so therefore they're juggling around the time slots trying to move the current Friday night lineup to Tuesday night on Sci-Fi to make room on Friday night for Friday night SmackDown. But someone deep within WWE has gotten the idea that they kind of like having an hour on Tuesday night. They don't want to get rid of that hour on Tuesday night. And so they've gone back to Bonnie Hammer, who is head of USA, took it to the people at NBC, talked about where they could find another hour of television, one of the other networks owned by Universal. Get this. In order to keep an hour on Tuesday night, they are looking at another network, and the network that they have apparently come up with is Bravo. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Bravo is where they're looking to put another hour of WWE programming. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Bravo, but Bravo is not the best fit for WWE, I'd say. Now, there's a lot of programming on Bravo that I think would be a perfect fit for another professional wrestler that we talk about on the show from time to time.
Berries and cream, I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream.
But, you know, for everybody else, don't think it's the best idea. I'm flabbergasted when I hear them talk about things like that, talking about Bravo, because that seems like such a poor fit. And it's, you know, I think people can argue that wrestling being on Sci-Fi isn't the best fit necessarily either, but Sci-Fi does a lot more than just science fiction. They do horror, magic, mystical wizards, and that's not Sci-Fi, you know. If it was all Sci-Fi, it would be all Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek, you know, that kind of stuff, and it's not. So before we get, you know, too heavy-handed into the idea that wrestling isn't necessarily fit on Sci-Fi, it works fine with the other stuff that they program on there. I just don't see Bravo fitting in well with WWE. It's just one of those things where you have to really kind of wonder, like, what is the thought of putting out there? Here, let me give you some of the some of the other shows that we have on Bravo TV. We've got Bethany Getting Married, Inside the Actor's Studio, The Real Housewives of New Jersey, The Real Housewives of New York City, Top Chef, and if that wasn't enough for you, Top Chef Masters. Let's see, we've got the America's Next Top Model, Chef Academy, Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List, which is probably one of the worst shows I've ever seen in the entire history of television, NYC Prep, Project Runway, Tabitha's Salon Takeover, The Fashion Show, The Millionaire Matchmaker, The Real Housewives of Atlanta, The Real Housewives of Orange County, Work Out. Yeah. So that gives you an idea of the shows that are on Bravo. And they're thinking about adding an hour show of WWE programming onto Bravo. The only thing I could really see working is perhaps Jim Ross and Mean Gene going over classic wrestling from the 50s, 60s, and 70s out of the archives that WWE owns. And that would probably fit on Bravo. Something of more of a historical context. But I don't know. Santino versus Hornswoggle with a Chavo run-in. Just don't see it working. Just don't see it working. Anyway, some of the other news from the past week or so that don't quite get me as riled up. Linda McMahon did win the Republican endorsement in her home state running for senator. So Rob Simmons says he's going to stay in the race and he's going to compete for the nomination. And the nomination is what happens in the primary in August. So this is not actually that she's won the nomination, but the Republican Party has said, okay, we're going to go ahead and back you instead of some of these other people. And the reason why this has become such a big race and such an important race is because the Democrat is the one, I don't know if you've been following the news, but he's the one who was giving a speech to a bunch of vets, and he goes, well, you know, back when I was in Vietnam, and it turns out that when he was in Vietnam, he got deferred from active duty, so he never actually was in Vietnam during Vietnam. He claims he misspoke, but apparently it's not the first time it's happened, so I guess we'll just have to see. Upcoming Raw guests, of course, if you watched last night, you know that Ashton Kutcher is going to be the guest host next week, and he apparently is a gigantic fan. He apparently did an interview several years ago where, amongst other things, he talked about how much he loves watching professional wrestling, and also how he thought being an actor was the greatest job in the world because he used to be this guy who washed dishes and made no money. And someone said, hey, act like a goofball in front of a camera and we'll give you $1 million. And he did it. So he's one of these guys who's really going to come into the show with a lot of enthusiasm, and they'll probably have him get involved a little bit more. Let's see. May 31st, Bradley Cooper, Charlotte Copley, I have no idea who that is, and Quentin Jackson from the A-Team movie. Some guy from Royal Pains is going to be on June 14th, and Royal Pains is another show on the USA Network, so that's just a network thing there. At some unnamed point in the future, we've got Pat Sajak and Khloe Kardashian. Now, not necessarily on the same show. I don't think they're co-hosting together, kind of funny. One thing I would like to point out here, I know some of you can hear the background noise. I can see it appearing on my meters. There's a couple great, wonderful things going on right now. First of all, my daughter is over here playing Little Einsteins on the Disney Channel website, and every time I turn down the volume, she has a tendency to sneak over and turn it back up a little bit. So you hear some classical music, you hear some stuff in the background. It's coming from that. Also, luckily for me, my next-door neighbor has decided to do extensive repairs to his house today. So if you hear some thuds, you hear some hammering, you hear some crashes, it's my house is not falling apart. It's going on next door. But I'm all right. Thank you for asking. For all you Chris Jericho fans, the Chris Jericho DVD finally got the go-ahead. They've got a 3-disc set, and it should be coming out in time for Christmas. Some people are saying maybe as early as September, so that should be interesting. They have rights to ECW and WCW as well, so it should be a pretty comprehensive look at his career. Let's see. they apparently are looking internally at the Dolph Ziggler-Christian feud as a promotion for Dolph Ziggler, pushing him up, and a demotion for Christian. They're actually talking about Christian and Hornswoggle versus Dolph Ziggler and Chavo Guerrero happening at the house shows. And Christian, for whatever reason, he's not looked at favorably by WWE, and so they decided to drop him down a notch to have him wrestle with Ziggler. But for Ziggler, they see it as a step up, and they believe he's someone that they can push here as soon as that feud is over. MacGruber bombed at the box office, even though it had Chris Jericho, Great Khali, Mark Henry, a bunch of guys in it. The movie did, about $4 million and is considered to be a total flop, which I don't think anybody really... The funny thing to me is they promoted it so heavily, and they had the commercials going for so long, and they had all the WWE tie-ins, and they had... I can't think of his name, but the guy who plays MacGruber, of course, he hosted the show a couple weeks ago, and I assumed that the movie was coming out like that weekend. And of course, it didn't come out for like another month and a half, whatever it was. So by the time the movie actually came out this weekend, I was kind of over it. I was just kind of like, oh, you know, maybe I'll just wait till it comes out. If it had come out right then, I probably would have gone to see it in the theater, but, you know, I just didn't care as much so much time had passed, so... Rey Mysterio does have a WWE contract for at least 2 more years, and there are thoughts that he, after 2 years, he may leave, go back to AAA, finish out his career there. He feels he's grossly underpaid in WWE, and considering, you know, how popular he is, how much of a ratings draw he is, how much merchandise he actually moves, he is underpaid by WWE, but at the same time, if he leaves and goes somewhere else, he's not going to make anywhere close to what he's making in WWE. So Rey Mysterio is there at least 2 more years, but after that, probably going back to Mexico. Let's see. The Money in the Bank pay-per-view in July is still scheduled to have 2 Money in the Bank matches, which means you'll have 2 guys running around with briefcases, and at this point in time, there is no call that they will be briefcase for the different brands. It'll just be 2 briefcases. And the current idea is that 1 briefcase match will be all main event type guys. Edge, Jericho, Undertaker, John Cena, Sheamus, Triple H, whoever in the mix in one. And then the other one will be your usual mid-card type guys. Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, John Morrison, R-Truth, Ted DiBiase, those type guys in the second match. And they will both have briefcases. And how they will keep from one guy cashing in the briefcase and getting a quick match and then having the other guy send his goons out to attack him and then cash in the other briefcase, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work out, but just seems like a bad idea. Seems to really be watering down the whole Money in the Bank thing. This pay-per-view seems like a bad idea. Hopefully this will be the only year they do it, and hopefully they never do it again. Some people wondering, about Virgil. A couple people asked about Virgil. Is this a long-term contract? It is not. He is show by show. Virgil is just per show basis, and eventually when they tire of the gimmick or they find the new person to be out there with Ted DiBiase, Virgil will be gone. So at least, probably he'll be done in time to make his appearance at San Diego Comic-Con and his Wrestling Superstar Virgil table. One last piece of news. The tag team that appeared last night on Raw, which we'll get to here in a few minutes, the team is, right now they're being called the Samoans. They are the sons of Rikishi, and the female who was out there with him was the daughter of Superfly Jimmy Snuka. And it's unknown at this point whether or not they will refer to Rikishi, or they will refer to Jimmy Snuka, or if they will just be, new guys who come in, do this deal. But they made their appearance last night on Raw, and they came up from Florida Championship Wrestling, where they've been for a long time, and there's word that more guys from Florida Championship Wrestling will be coming up, because the roster's really hurting right now. If you take a look at a lot of the stuff that's going on in WWE, you will see that most of the big names are out right now. I mean, Batista just quit, but he has been kind of working half-injured. Triple H is out. Orton is out, at least for a couple weeks till his shoulder heals. Shawn Michaels has retired. Mysterio's taking a vacation. Undertaker was supposed to be out until probably SummerSlam or so was when he was going to start coming back in, which is what he's done the last couple of years after WrestleMania. And they've noticed that the roster is so weak that they immediately asked him to come back full-time to SmackDown starting on Friday, which they promoted pretty heavily last night on Raw, trying to get people to watch SmackDown and push that show a little bit harder. So I guess there you go with that. That shows you really kind of the condition that they're in. They're really hurting right now. And it'll be interesting to see if they're able to keep things going. So, all right, that's about to do it for now. We'll take a commercial break real quick, and then we'll be back with your rundown of Monday Night Raw.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
Check out www.LockerRoomHQ.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.PopCultureNetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.PopCultureNetwork.com.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt, and Comics Corner's reviewer, Ryan Porter, along with our newest member, Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
And don't forget to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you buy helps to keep us on the air. That's www.PopCultureNetwork.com. All right, so we are back, and let's talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw here, shall we? Monday Night Raw, I thought for the most part, was an average show. It was okay, but it was nothing fantastic. There were a few problems with the show, which we will get into, obviously, as we go through it. But I think overall it was entertaining. Show opened with Dave Bautista coming down to the ring. He was helped down by two referees. He was limping, his ribs all taped up, his arm was in a sling. He, I believe he had a black eye. And he was wearing these huge glasses, these looked like Smokey the Bandit meets Macho Man Randy Savage type shades. I'm not sure exactly what they were, but it was awesome. But he got in the ring, they set up a wheelchair for him, he sat down, and he started to complain about how he said, "I quit," even though he promised he never would. People thought they'd never hear those words, and he said it, but his life was being threatened, and he's sick of all these, basically these BS matches that he's been forced to do. He wants to win the WWE Championship, and therefore, he should be in championship matches. Not matches that are decided with duct tape. Not matches where people are fighting on cars. He thinks he should be in one-on-one matches. And he believed in something called honor. And he said because he'd been injured, he was going to be out for weeks, maybe months, but he said he should have a championship match because as soon as he returns, he's going to get his rematch. He deserves a rematch, and he's going to win back his championship. So at this point, Justin Roberts interrupts him and says that the new general manager has arrived at the building, and he's here to announce the new full-time general manager of Monday Night Raw, Bret the Hitman Hart. So, Bret's music hits, he comes down to the ring, and he basically says to Batista The next title match that's going to be happening is going to be at Fatal 4-Way at the pay-per-view. So if you want to be in it, then you have a chance to compete tonight and earn a spot in the match. Batista says, I'm injured, I can't fight, there's no way that I'm going to be able to have a match tonight. And he said, well, you're injured, so I'll put you in a match with the equally injured Randy Orton, and that way the two of you can determine who's going to be in the pay-per-view match. And again, Batista protested. He said, I'm injured. What part of that do you not understand? I cannot wrestle tonight. I cannot be in a match. And so Bret Hart said, basically, okay, well, if you're not going to wrestle, then you forfeit. So the number one guy to make it into the Fatal 4-Way match is going to be Randy Orton. And with this, Bret Hart just basically said, that's it. He's done. He leaves, and Batista starts to freak out. He said, if you leave, I'll quit. I'll quit this company. I'll leave this business. I'll leave this industry, and I mean it. And so Bret just leaves, and Batista just, you know, keeps going, I'm going to do it. You're nothing without me. You try to watch this show just to see me, and with me gone, no one's going to watch anymore. You know, you don't think I'll do it? I'll do it. And, you know, of course, the crowd's egging him on, so he just says, I quit. And he threw down the microphone, and he got the referees to come back and help him out of the ring and put him back in the wheelchair, and they pushed him to the back. And as they were pushing him to the back, he kept yelling at the crowd and telling them off. And as he's leaving, for whatever reason, Justin Roberts goes, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Batista. And everybody boos as they push him out the stage exit. That was amazing. That was a very odd segment in many ways. First of all, with Justin Roberts interrupting, doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because usually they just have the music hit and the guy comes out. But, you know, he did it, and then he interrupted again at the end. So I'm wondering if there's some sort of friendship between those two that we've never really heard about, because that just seemed kind of awkward. You know, other than the fact that maybe, you know, Vince McMahon just sitting backstage was talking through Justin Roberts you know, was playing with Batista that way. The other thing that was odd was, of course, Bret Hart is the current United States champion, fifth time winning the title last week, and he came out as the general manager and did not have the title belt. And while they eventually spoke about it later on in the evening, the commentary didn't say anything about the title belt now. They didn't say anything about, you know, why he's not wearing it, anything like that. Just he just came out, didn't have the title. So that was kind of weird. So we got Mark Henry versus Sheamus in the first Fatal 4-Way qualifier. And it was one of those where Mark Henry comes out and the people in the crowd are like, oh, yay, Mark Henry, cool, big guy doing a match. Who's he up against? And then Sheamus comes out and people go, oh, Sheamus is going to be in the match. You know, this match didn't even have to happen. Everybody knew. But it was a Mark Henry match, so you can only expect so much out of it. So as Mark Henry matches go, I'd have to say it was better than your average Mark Henry match. Having said that, though, it was not good. But they did a lot of holds. They did a lot of trying to wear down each other's joints and whatnot. Henry picked up Sheamus to slam him, but his shoulder gave out. He dropped Sheamus. Sheamus hit the big boot, got the pin. So there you go for that. After that, they finally decided to address what was going on with the U.S. title. They said since Bret Hart was the new general manager, he had to vacate the title. So they would have a match tonight between Miz and R-Truth, and the winner of that match would be the new United States champion. So no tournament, no qualifying matches, nothing like that. They just, the guy who used to hold the title and a guy he doesn't get along with, gonna have a match for the title. So, at least I was, at that point, I was like, well, I really hope R-Truth wins this, because that'll show that they're at least willing to push somebody else, finally. So, I was looking forward to see what was going to happen in that. They cut backstage, and they had John Lovitz. He was talking to Maryse's breasts. She said she had hot photos of herself, and she wanted to win John Lovitz's Superstar Search contest that would be happening happening later that night. So he tried to get a look at her flesh, and she said no. He plugged his new comedy club by saying he wasn't going to plug his new comedy club, by then giving out the name and address of his new comedy club. He then announced that he had created a new submission move, some type of nerve pinch. He had taught it to Santino. Santino had gotten pretty good at it. He wanted to show it to Maurice, and she said she wasn't interested. So she started speaking French, or she said something in French, and so he started speaking French, and he spake it. He spanked it, probably after she left, but he spoke it pretty well. I think he legitimately does know some French. And he said that, and she got pretty excited. He also said that he had millions of dollars, and that got her super excited, and then suddenly she wanted every piece of John Lovitz, and he told her to get lost. She wanted nothing to do with her, and Maurice left pretty pissed off. We cut to Bret Hart backstage. He was talking to Edge. Edge was trying to talk Bret into giving him a qualifying match. He said he wanted a match against John Cena, who's also injured, because that would be the only thing that's fair, since he offered Batista a match with the injured Orton. Or Orton the match with the injured Batista. Whichever. However you want to look at it. So Christian comes in, and Christian says, of course, that he should be getting the final spot in the match. The two of them bickered back and forth until finally Bret Hart just said, "I've decided it's going to be Edge versus Cena versus Jericho tonight. If Edge and Jericho, if either of them get the pin, they're the final guy in the match. If John Cena gets the pin, then neither of them will be in the match." So, there you go with that. Let's see. They had Eve and Gail Kim versus Maurice and Alicia Fox. Again, Eve, she's trying. She's trying very hard. She's still kind of stiff, still a little clunky. She's athletic, but not smooth. It's kind of like that Shelton Benjamin problem, where Shelton Benjamin will have these moments of awesomeness, but then you realize that overall he is pretty much lacking, even though he can pull off great stuff here and there. And I think Eve is kind of in that same boat right now. The question is whether or not she can be pushed into a better position, whether or not she can find a way to be a better wrestler. If she can, I think she has the ability, because of the way she cuts promos, because she looks fantastic, and because she does have a natural athletic ability, that she could go far. She could succeed in being a pretty good diva. Gail Kim, we know, can wrestle, and wrestle pretty well, but she just never really gets a chance to shine. Maurice is there for eye candy. She can do a couple moves, but she's really not a great wrestler. Alicia Fox, I think Alicia Fox was dating somebody in the company, and that's why she's still there. Could be wrong, but I really don't see a whole lot in what she brings to the table, but they had this female tag match, and basically Gail Kim tried to run in. The referee pushed her back. Alicia Fox ran in, kicked Eve while the ref was not looking. Maurice hit Eve with the DDT and got the pin. So they're going to be pushing the Maurice and Eve angle even more, with more matches between the two of them, like the stellar one we got at the Over the Limit pay-per-view. But I guess whatever. What can you do? R-Truth versus The Miz for the U.S. title. Miz cut a promo saying he, of course, would be the U.S. championship because he's The Miz and he's awful, as far as I care. Truth came out, did a great job, except for one point during the commercial when he tried to do a pescado and he landed on his head. Which looked rather brutal, but he recovered really well, which I guess is good for R-Truth. But R-Truth made his hit, made his big comeback. He hit a crossbody. Miz rolled through, got a two count. The fans were behind R-Truth. They really cared about R-Truth, which is a good sign for him. That's good, because there were times, you know, last night, but Sunday night, the pay-per-view, you could tell the crowd just really didn't care. Not so much they didn't care about R-Truth, but they just didn't care about a whole lot of stuff that seemed to be going on the show. But they were pretty well behind R-Truth. They did a bunch more near falls until finally he hit his lie detector and got the pin. They gave him his title. They said this was his first true singles title. in the WWE. They just started to say it was his first title win, and then suddenly they realized, oh, he is a former NWA World Champion. And I think they said that before, that he's never won a title. Oh, they said that with Christian, I believe. Yeah, it was with Christian. They said he had never won a World Championship, which, of course, he won twice in TNA with the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, but, of course, WWE won't recognize that. R-Truth, also a former NWA World Champion. I believe he was the first in TNA to win that NWA World Championship. So they just said his first title in WWE. They had to add that extra piece on there, but it was fine. It made it really big for R-Truth, made it look like a big victory for him. And most importantly, for the fans watching at home, it really looked like, okay, now this guy has taken a step up. He's gone from SmackDown to Raw. He had a great promo with DiBiase. He's had some fun matches. Now he wins a title. He's a guy who's moving up. And that is good. Because, you know, I could seriously see R-Truth versus Chris Jericho in a long-term feud over the summer. If you're hearing that dot matrix printer, that's actually my phone. I'm going to take a phone call right now. Let's see who this is. Hello? Hey, I'm just recording my wrestling podcast right now for Wrestling Radio. Well, what's going on? Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's a pretty big week. Lots of comics coming out tomorrow. What? You have money? That's surprising. You saw your pimp last night? What happened? Ah, good. Well, vampire sex is the weirdest kind. All right, well, let me finish up this show and I'll give you a call. Are you off today? Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye. Now, I know that was the most exciting thing that's ever happened on this show. Interrupted by a phone call. And, you know, you guys are suckers for that kind of meaty goodness. And I'm debating right now whether or not to go back and edit that out. Because I could very easily stop this show and just go back and cut it. But I think what I want to do is actually leave it in there for now. I'll listen to it later, see if I like it. If I don't like it, I'll cut it out. You guys will never even hear this monologue. But if you're hearing this monologue right now, then that means I've decided to leave it in. And that's going to be one of those things that makes this show so special. So, let's see. They cut to Cena backstage. He was laughing watching the footage of Dave quitting, Big Batista gone. He talked about how he never gave up, and he was glad that Dave had quit, and he celebrated afterwards, and then, of course, he was sad that Sheamus came and kicked him in the face. He said it's tough being champion, because no matter where you go, no matter what you do, people are always taking shots at you. People are always coming after you. And he was tired of facing challenges that other people have made. Now he's making a challenge. He's going to be throwing it out there to anyone else. He said he'd face anyone, and the guy who beat him was going to have to work really hard to earn the championship, because John Cena is now going to go out and give everything he's got in every match he's going to have ever again. Which, okay, that's good, but shouldn't have you been giving it your all along? Seems like one of those things that you really should have been doing since day one. So I guess that's why he's lost the title before, because he wasn't really into it as deeply as he should have been. Whatever. It was a pretty good promo, though. A lot of times people will come out and they're like, ah, John Cena's so annoying, and he does this super annoying, and blah, 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 he's so annoying. But, you know, this was a good promo. If you didn't like this promo, then you're just a person who hates John Cena arbitrarily. Because this was a well-delivered promo. Whether or not it was super scripted or not is beyond the point. And he used the name Cena Nation a couple times. Cena Nation, which is something he said a couple times before. People have held up signs in the crowd that say C-Nation. You know, just kind of the thing they're pushing for, more merchandise. But the funny thing is, I was talking to my wife some point earlier on in the show. They were doing the pans of the crowd, and I just said to my wife, look at how many orange T-shirts there are. Look how many John Cena T-shirts there are in the crowd. Look how many of those Cena hands, those foam Cena hands, are in the crowd. He is pushing so much merchandise that when people go out there, oh, I hate John Cena, 90% of those people are doing it just because he's the most over guy, so it's cool to hate him. It's like the people in 1988 who are going, oh, I hate Hulk Hogan. Yeah, you hate Hulk Hogan because it's cool to hate Hulk Hogan to your little group of Mark friends because, you know, you're the smart Marks. So you know better than everybody else. He's, you know, I will not say that that Hogan was the greatest wrestler of all time or anything like that, but he was certainly a guy who knew how to work a crowd and to make an entertaining segment on the show. And in the end, regardless of whether or not he's a better wrestler or worse wrestler than somebody, someone who makes the show entertaining and fun to watch is someone that you are entertained by and want to watch. Pure and simple. That's enough about of a rant like that. If I go on, I'm going to end up sounding like a better Duvall, because you can't sound worse than Duvall, right? Duvall doesn't listen to the show, so please don't tell him I said that. They had John Lovitz come out with the Bella Twins, who whore themselves out to all the celebrities because they don't want him to wrestle, which is probably a good move on the part of WWE. He tried to climb in the ring and played it off like he was too fat to get up there, so they had to push on his butt to get him up into the ring. But there was a giant table there, and they had a big button, and he would call people out to do their talent, and he would press the button if they were no good. This segment starts out pretty entertaining, I have to admit. I found it pretty entertaining, but there were two problems. One, of course, it went on too long. And second of all, the announcers, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, when there's a segment like this, they should just mute their mics and just let it go. Because there's no point in adding commentary when you have a guy in the ring narrating. So them doing... I mean, it's like having bad Ed McMahons at ringside, you know? It sounds terrible. But he opened it up with the first act was the Great Khali and Rajan Singh coming out to do Putting on the Ritz. And they came out in full tuxedos, top hats. They had canes. They had scarves. They played music, and they were dancing along to it, and Rajan Singh is actually trying to sing the words, and he gets to the chorus, and he points at Great Khali, and Great Khali, it seems like, really doesn't know what he's doing, and so you hear the music that they're singing along to, and the music is Putting on the Ritz, and Great Khali goes, Put on Ritz! And he's off, like how I did the one voice and then did the second voice. It wasn't that those were happening simultaneously and I was doing both voices. That's how much there was a delay between Great Khali singing and the music being piped through the speakers was singing. But the two of them in the tuxedos dancing was awesome. And I defy anybody who said that wasn't entertaining to find something better, because that was fantastic. So then, he ended up buzzing them, telling them to leave. Rajan Singh was just beside himself. He was like, this is incredible. How can you get rid of us? But he left. Khali left. Brought out the next act. Jillian's music hit, and she walks out on the stage, and he immediately hits the buzzer and sends her backstage, which was awesome. Another incredibly funny moment on there. So then... he said he's obviously wasting his time asking the WWE superstars to come out and show their hidden talents. He was going to turn to the crowd. So he started pointing to the crowd. How about you? How about you? Kind of walking around the crowd, and this took way too long. This took way too long. And then they found their planted guy, who was a writer, WWE writer Joe Francosi of the creative team. He has a fake eyeball, and apparently the deal is when he came to WWE, he met Michael Hayes. He wanted to work for WWE, and Michael Hayes says, well, what can you do? And he kind of thought for a minute. He goes, well, I can take out my eyeball. And he pulled out his eyeball. And Michael Hayes said, whoa, all right, kid, you come with me. And apparently that's what it took for him to get into WWE in the first place. So that was his hidden talent. Well, they brought him out to the ring to take out his eyeball. And, of course, he teased it, and he teased it. And then he reached in his pocket to pull out a bottle of Visine to give himself some eye drops. And, of course, it took him 20 seconds to pull out the bottle of Visine, pull it out, put in the eye drops, then pulled out his eyeball, and everybody freaked out. And it was super gross and whatever. So DiBiase's music hits, and DiBiase and Virgil come down to the ring. And Virgil had a big star on his shirt because, of course, he is the wrestling superstar Virgil. And DiBiase came in the ring and asked to buy the eyeball. And he just goes, how much? And the guy's like, I don't know. Like, I want to buy your eyeball. How much? And the guy's like, I can't sell you my eye. And DiBiase says, well, if I can't buy it, then I will take it. Because either way, I will have it. And so suddenly Santino came out. And really, I like Santino. I like Ted DiBiase. Virgil on TV just entertains me to a certain degree that I cannot express just how much that entertains me. But by the time Santino came out, I was like, this segment is over. Like, it should have ended after he cut off Jillian and just said, this has been a waste. I'm sorry, everybody. Maybe he should have done a dance or something to show off his talent, and that was it. But this just kept on going. So out comes Santino. And he said he had learned John Lovett's death pinch, and he tried it on Virgil, and Virgil fell dead, which was actually pretty awesome. Then he tried to do it on DiBiase, and it didn't work. He tried to do it again on DiBiase, didn't work. Tried to get his hands in the proper position, so DiBiase just hit him with the Dream Street and laid him out. And Lovett said, that was the best talent we've ever seen. Ted wins by hitting that Dream Street. And they all kind of celebrated, and the segment was over. It could have worked really well if they had cut a lot of that time. If the guy, maybe if he hadn't actually pulled out his eyeball just when he started to do it, maybe DiBiase should have come out and cut him off, said if he pulls the eye out, he wants to buy it. I've seen, I don't know. It's one of those things, it started out so well. And to think that they went to the expense of getting a tuxedo that fits the great Khali, and a second matching tuxedo for Rajan Singh, and told them to come out and do a dance and sing to Put on the Ritz. I still love it. I gotta get an animated GIF of that. I gotta see if I can track down an animated GIF of that, because that's gonna make me the happiest thing. If I can just put that on a little loop of the two of them dancing to Putting on the Ritz, I think I might just find a way to maybe put that as my wallpaper and just leave it. Just let it loop over and over and over and over again. Maybe get one of those little digital picture frames, and I could just have it endlessly looping next to my bed when I go to sleep at night. One of those. Okay, now I'm starting to get creepy about it, so let's just go ahead and move on. Next segment, we had the Hart Dynasty versus Regal and Kozlov for the Unified Tag Team titles. They had a fun little match. It went really quick, though. They hit the Hart Attack after about a couple minutes, 2 minutes, I think it was. So as they're sitting there celebrating, Jimmy and Jules, the sons of Rikishi, Serona, the daughter of Jimmy Snuka, they're just calling them right now the Samoans, backstage, internally. That's probably not the name they're going to use, on TV, but just had them come in as a couple of unnamed guys. They even let Natalya get beat up, which is something that really doesn't happen a whole lot. They laid them out. They went on the top ropes. They did big splashes off the top, and then they left. And you, as a viewer, were left with absolutely no clue who these people were or why they were allowed to do this. But sure enough, there you go. We cut to backstage. We had Josh Matthews in back with Wade Barrett, Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, and David Otunga to talk about NXT. They said who should be eliminated. And funny thing is, last time they did this, and they asked who should be eliminated, and they all said David Otunga. This time, they mixed it up a little bit. They had Justin Gabriel saying Heath Slater. Heath Slater said it should be Otunga. Otunga said it should be Slater. You know, they mixed it all up. And the reason why is because the last time they did it and they all said David Otunga, that was legit. That was a shoot. They just had him back there and they said, who do you think should be eliminated? And they were all like, David Otunga, he sucks. And people in WWE are like, but David Otunga has a famous girlfriend, and so we want him to stay with the company because we want to have access to this famous girlfriend and all the people. If David Otunga should break up with Jennifer Hudson, he's gone. I mean, that's it. That's all they're using him for. He doesn't have the talent, the charisma that they're looking for, but he has a famous girlfriend. And so that's what keeps him there. So this time they decided to mix things up and do it as angles and have guys pick on different people. That way they're not all picking on David Otunga because they want David Otunga to stay over. So they did this whole bit and they all got in each other's faces. And then Heath Slater, David Otunga challenged each other to a match tomorrow night and continued to argue. And Josh Matthews sent it back out front and it sucked. So then Jerry Lawler said Michael Cole, of course, had gotten in the fight with Daniel Bryan last week, and he said, quite frankly, Daniel Bryan kicked your ass, and let's take a look at it. So they showed the clip, and he asked Michael Cole what was going to happen, and Michael Cole said that you know, he'd suffered physical and psychological stress, he'd met with his attorneys, he was going to demand that Daniel Bryan apologize, and if he didn't, he was going to sue him for everything he was worth. Of course, the whole gimmick of NXT is these guys are rookies. They're not worth anything. So, be interesting to see what happens with that. But, cut to backstage. Jericho meeting with Edge in the locker room. Jericho said, Cena's hurt, so tonight it's all about whichever one of us can pin him first. And Edge got in his face, said, well, maybe I'm not going to pin Cena. Maybe I'll beat you and pin you in order to get my position. So, this is a three-way. They had two heels and a face, so they needed someone else to get a little bit of sympathy here, so they had Edge, you know, basically talk down Cena in order to get Edge just a little bit back over on the fan side, a little bit than Jericho, which is fine. You know, of course, they didn't have him go full out, you know, face. They just made him the better of the two bad guys, so that's fine. So we got Cena versus Jericho versus Edge. This was a fatal four-way qualifier. This was a fine main event. This main event actually pretty good with everything considered. I really don't like generally three-way matches. And it did break down into the common thing you see where one guy gets hit, rolls to the outside, the other two wrestle for a while until one of them gets thrown outside or goes for a pin. The other guy jumps in, gets back in the mix, you know, that type of thing. But Cena actually started to bleed a little bit at one point. He had some sort of a scar next to his eye, and it looked like it got busted back open. And he started to bleed, and they didn't call out the doctor. They didn't stop the match. The bleeding wasn't that bad, and they decided to let it go. Because after what happened with CM Punk last night, they've realized that people just, they're fed up of it happening and being so big and being so long, and they just said, no, we're not going to do it right now. It's not that bad. So they just let him continue to wrestle. And they did a whole bunch of submissions. They did one point where everybody was in a submission hold from everybody else, basically. They did a lot of one guy hit a finisher, then someone else hits a finisher, but no one could capitalize. They had Jericho hit Cena with a code breaker, but then they had Edge spear Jericho. He ended up getting the pin. So Edge is your fourth guy in the four-way. He gets out of the ring. And is celebrating. They show Cena in the ring, looking mad, staring at Edge. And then out comes Sheamus. So you have Sheamus on the stage, and Edge on the ramp, and Cena in the ring, and they're having the stare down. And then suddenly Randy Orton's music hits. Randy Orton walks out, just wearing his t-shirt and underwear, child's underoos gimmick look, and stands on the entryway staring at all of them. Didn't move. I mean, he took three steps out to stand there and did not move. You could tell that there is something wrong with him. He's hurt. But they're hoping he's only hurt enough that he'll be back in 3 weeks or whatever for the pay-per-view, but ended up with Sheamus at the top of the ramp, Edge at the bottom of the ramp, Orton on the stage, Cena in the ring, and they did this wide shot of all four guys looking back and forth at each other, ready for their fatal four-way. So they did a really good job, at least, of setting up that match for the next pay-per-view, so they got plenty of time to, you know, make you care about why these guys are going to be facing each other. Hopefully they can do something with that. And presumably, tonight at the SmackDown tapings, they will be setting up their fatal four-way match for the SmackDown brand, which, of course, will have The Undertaker in it. Undertaker, not Rey Mysterio, because, of course, he's on going to be taking vacation. I'm not sure if he's at the tapings this week or not, but he will be out. So it'll be interesting to see who else they put into that fatal four-way on SmackDown. And you know what? You want to hear all about it? Just come back here on Friday afternoon. I sit down Friday mornings, and I watch SmackDown, and segment by segment. And after each segment, I pause the recording, and I talk about what happened, and I continue to watch the show. So you can get an idea of what it's like for me to go through the show and watch the whole thing unfold. So come back Friday afternoon. You can hear that podcast. Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening tonight. Don't forget to check out the rest of the podcasts, the rest of the stuff available. Right now, if you go to the Pop Culture Network store and you order a bunch of comics, you send an email to Killen and you say, hey, I want to pay for the flat rate shipping box. If you order, you know, 3, 4, 5 comics, whatever, we get actually like this this oversized box because it's one price after a certain point. You know, you buy one comic, you buy two comics, you're basically paying the same amount of shipping and handling for each individual book. But once you hit that magic number of, you know, 4 or 5, whatever it is, you say, I want the flat rate shipping box, and we'll throw a bunch of extra stuff in there. So we'll throw in some free Comic Book Day books, maybe a couple of those dollar preview books. We have some books that, you know, they were dented when they came in, and so maybe have a little crease in them. So we can't really sell them, you know, because we consider them to be damaged. But we will go ahead and throw some of those in there. And if you ask, we will draw mustaches on people's faces. We will draw maybe some naughty bits going into open mouths. You know, things, you know, whatever you want, whatever you want. So if you ask us to deface some free comics or damaged comics that we throw into your box, we'll do that. We'll do that. It's all about your box. Pop Culture Network Store, it's all about your box. That's going to be our new commercial. So, anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and I will talk to you guys on Friday.
Remember, Mexican strategy, it's like Pulp Fiction. It'll make sense tomorrow.
Dirty, nasty, that's the way we like it.
You know what? First of all, these two guys in the ring should get a refund on their wrestling classes because they both suck. Not these two J-Bones again. You know, I'm going to say something about Chronic so they don't get mad. They're powerful guys, they're big guys, but they can't mat wrestle, they can't do any aerial flying, they got no charisma. Why do they get mad? It's the truth. Why do they get mad? It's the truth. What was that? These guys are all young and hungry, well, except for Chronic. What are you, the lawyer? These guys are terrible. Plus, we got it like that.
Ugh. Did he say he's got it like that?
He's got it like that.
We can't get
along.
Can
we retire that line?
Let's get it on.
Have you ever noticed that guys don't got it like that get mad at guys that got it like that?
Disco fever. Disco fever. Disco fever. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You better get out of Disco's face before I put my foot up your rear end.
You got it like that! He's so cool. I've got it like that!
He's just a disco dancing fool. When he steps up.
You got it like that!
I've
got it like that! Maybe Disco does got it like that!